This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back into the drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Let me play this cut for you guys. Bill Self met with the media yesterday after the beatdown the Jayhawks got from BYU. Here's what Coach Self had to say.
The thing about, we need to regroup, you know, get away from each other for a day and go home and hopefully be able to, you know, a lot of times with teams, there needs to be something happen to pull everybody together that is us against the outside. And, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to do that for sure. So a lot of teams go through it. We just haven't been through it much at all in a long time. But certainly we're going to go through it this time. So all we have of each other, and we're going to have to be strong for each other and be good teammates and good leaders and understand that, you know, it's if we need to look in the mirror, all of us, and what can we do to change the momentum, and then whatever we commit to doing, then do it. And tonight we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out, in how we guarded and a lot of other things right from the jump. I mean, it was crystal clear how we wanted to try to guard them, and right from the jump, we doubted it and ended up hurting ourselves right there early.
That was Bill Self as he met with the media after the game talking about it. One thing that really stood out to me yesterday in seeing the backlash for how KU played was it was sort of a pretty uniform message. A pretty uniform message, I would say, from former KU players, that the guys that are currently on the court don't understand what it means to be a Jayhawk. Christian Brown, who won a championship recently with KU, talked about having guys that are playing for the front of the jersey and not the back of the jersey. Cole Aldrich, who is coming on the show tomorrow to talk about KU, said, put the managers in. Maybe they care. Landon Lucas was tweeting about it. Mario Little was talking about it. Again, I mentioned Christian Brown talking about it. There is a tone and a sentiment from the guys who have done things at the University of Kansas. This is unacceptable. We hold ourselves to a certain standard that, you know, when you sign up to come play basketball at KU, you know exactly what you signed up for. And if those expectations are not what you want, then you should probably go play basketball somewhere else. We hold ourselves to the standard of dominating this conference, being a 1-2 seed in the NCAA tournament, putting a team together that can make a run in the NCAA tournament, playing together. There is a certain style. And there seems to me to, Rob, be a theme from the guys who have done it before. Cole Aldrich played in a Final Four. Christian Brown won national championships. Guys whose name is up there on the wall next to Paul Pierce and Wilt Chamberlain. There seems to be a message from those guys. The guys that are currently playing on KU, they don't understand what it means to be a Jayhawk. This is a failure on everybody. Somebody recently tweeted me in the last like 10 minutes or so, I was talking about KU, and they said, "C-Dot, I don't think that KU is poorly coached. It was just a poorly assembled roster. The pieces don't fit. Self didn't wake up and forget how to coach. He's 3 years removed from a title. Sometimes rosters look better on paper." if yourself, you don't get to pass off the, oh, well, the roster's just bad. You put the roster together. You don't get to shop for all the groceries, cook the food, and then complain when it's bad. No, this is on you for how it is. But more so than just the roster being bad, their roster is a little bit better than I think KU fans are giving it talent. I don't know if Bill Self has been able to communicate to them and get them to play the style of basketball that he knows can win. That's on you. You're the one making $10 million. You're the one in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. You're one of the best coaches that we've ever seen before. We're not putting all this on AJ Store. I'm not putting all this on KJ Adams. Bill looks uninspired to me. Bill looks like somebody that has tried everything to get this work and does not have the solution. And I thought his press conference yesterday was him essentially throwing up his hands and letting you know that, hey, I'm running out of ideas. Maybe these guys just don't need to be around each other for the time being. Still got 5 games left. You still play Houston, a top 10 team. You still play Arizona, a team that's going to be, what, a 2 or a 3 seed. You still got the Big 12 tournament to go. You still got the NCAA tournament to go. We still got 5 to 7 really important basketball games. And time is running out to figure this thing out if we're going to have a normal KU year. How do you want to be remembered? Dewan Harris is one of the most decorated point guards in Kansas basketball history. He won a national championship, is going to be top 5 in assists, top 5 in games played. Dewan Harris is one of the better players that KU has produced. That is not how he will be remembered if this season continues to go how it's going. That's how people will remember Ochai. That's how people will remember Christian. They will remember Dewan Harris like he was around for the ride. Oh, you just happened to be on the team. We got a chance to see you when you didn't have all those pieces and we started to see the real you. This is about what kind of legacy do you want to leave by? And the thing to me that at least stands out for coaching, and Rob, you tell me if I'm wrong, is the KJ Adams type has always worked at KU under Bill. I don't understand why it hasn't worked with KJ Adams. That kind of play style, that body type, his athleticism, Bill Self has coached KJ Adams at least 15 times in KU. How is this the worst version of him? You've always gotten the most out of that guy. I've seen every part of KJ Adams' game, every step of the way. From a sophomore to now, he's not any better. He's not developed in any kind of way. That's not the KU that I remember. That's not the KU that I saw take Thomas Robinson, who was a little bit uncoordinated, and turn him into the second best player in college basketball. Jeff Withey couldn't dribble in a straight line when he got to KU and turned him into a lottery pick. That's the kind of stuff I saw Self do. Not all of this is misses in the transfer portal. Not all of it is. Dewan Harris has been there. KJ Adams has been there. Hunter Dickinson has been there. They should know what it's like to be a Jayhawk. And for whatever reason, that message does not seem to be coming down from the coaching staff to the players.
It has been an unmitigated disaster. And last night was the culmination of what Kansas fans have been seeing all season. And I think what CJ Moore said on the show earlier is so true. And it's how I've felt for a while about Kansas. I agree with the person who tweeted you. I don't think Bill Self has forgotten how to coach. I don't. Bill Self is still a really good coach in college basketball. Is he the best? Probably not. But he tried to take the shortcut. Let's be honest about what the portal is. It's a shortcut. Because even when Kansas was acquiring high-end talent, there were such things as, and I'm recording here, down years. You were going to have a year where, hey, you lost a big senior class and you brought in a bunch of 4 and 5 stars. But they got to figure, like, there were going to be learning curve years. The transfer portal was, to quote CJ Moore, a microwave. You can heat it up real quick. You can go get it. And Bill Self has absolutely whiffed in the portal. And those whiffs have made people like KJ Adams and Dewan Harris look worse. Because when KJ Adams and Dewan Harris were loved by Kansas fans, they were surrounded by pros. Jalen Wilson is a pro. Kevin McCullough, who had my complaints with at Kansas, is a guy who got drafted in the NBA. Ochai Agbaji's a pro. Grady Dick is a pro. If you have KJ Adams, Jalen Wilson, Ochai Agbaji, Grady Dick, and Dewan Harris, your team is good. But when you come off a season where you lose to Arkansas in the second round, and you lose Grady Dick, and you lose Jalen Wilson, and you lose a couple players in the portal, do you A, try to rebuild from the ground up with high school recruiting, or do you take the shortcut? And Bill Self has taken the shortcut 2 years in a row and just whiffed. He has just absolutely whiffed. Nick Timberlake, AJ Store, miss. Hunter Dickinson to an element is a miss. I know he's putting up stats, but it's hollow buckets. Super job. He's basically LaMelo Ball. What a stat hound that does nothing but lose. The shortcut Bill Self has been taking has failed. And for a player like KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris and what Bill Self's style is, he needs to go back to build it from the ground up. That's how KU won a title in 2022, which feels like light years ago, but was actually just 3 years ago. Dave McCormick was a four-year guy. Ochai Agbaji was a three-year guy. Christian Brown was a three-year guy. DeJuan Harris ended up being a 17-year guy. Jalen Wilson was a four-year guy. They found guys who were 3-, 4-, and 5-star kids. They brought them to Kansas. They developed them for a few years, and they won a title. You can still do that in college basketball, but your coach, your GM, whoever runs the infrastructure has to commit to that and can't say, look, I found this shortcut, because the shortcut has failed Kansas.
Yeah, but I guess maybe where we just disagree is that's what if you're telling me it's 3- and 4-year guys, that's what KJ Adams is. That's what DeJuan Harris is. They have both of those guys, and this is where I'll push back. No one thinks that Bill Self can't coach anymore. We're not talking about can you coach. It's can you still make hit records? I don't think that people forget how to make music or forget how to sing. You can't come up with a hit anymore that moves units and gets people to go buy your albums. Do you think that Bill Self can still make hits? Because we saw Bill Self in a music analogy. He was the greatest hit maker that you had ever seen before. Platinum album after platinum album after platinum album. His last two albums have flopped. They flopped. By his standards of what you've been doing, they flopped. And now you're complaining about your ticket sales. You're complaining about students and coming to the games and doing those things. So the question to me isn't if Bill Self can still coach. Yeah, sure. It's can Bill build a hit in today's climate? Because you're going to have to do a shortcut. Next season, you are not playing 7 freshmen next season. You're going to have to dip your toe back in that transfer portal water. How are you going to fix this? You're losing KJ. You're losing Hunter Dickinson. You're not keeping everybody back from this team, all of it. You and I both know KU's going to have 7 new players next year. All 7 of those players are not coming from high school. You're going to have to use the transfer portal. You don't have to be relying on the transfer portal, but it is a method to fix some of the problems and get you back to where you should be, competing for Big 12 championships, competing for Final Fours, competing for national championships. It should be embarrassing for a program that only celebrates Big 12 championships and Final Fours that the fact that they're 18-16 in that conference over the last 2 years. 18-16 in the Big 12?
I think, and maybe this is like we're agreeing or just saying it differently. He's going to dip his toe back into the portal. I agree with you. That's modern basketball. I think he needs to find the pillars in high school. And I think next year he can get back to that. Like Darren Peterson's the second best kid in high school basketball right now. Bryson Tiller's a kid who left overtime elite to go to Kansas next year.
He ain't going to be there for very long.
That Peterson kid,
he can hoop. He ain't going to be there that long.
Peterson's going to be a one and done. But Bryson Tiller may is a two-year guy. Like, I think they need to find their Ochai Agbajis and Christian Browns in high school and then supplement with Remy Martin as opposed to building around Hunter Dickinson. There's a difference in making a pillar a portal guy versus making a portal guy a complimentary piece. Zeke Mayo's a nice complimentary piece you found in the portal. The problem is the pieces around him, he doesn't it does nothing. You got to find more Darren Peterson types and less, hey, we're going to go find, you know, Diggy Coit types. That's not the path.
We'll keep talking about this. 913-586-7965. KU, they are struggling. They are 18-16 in the Big 12 the last couple of years. And more importantly, this team just, they are not consistent away from Allen Fieldhouse. They are not consistent in neutral site environments. They are not consistent in road environments. This is a KU team that has really struggled for the last 18 months. We'll also get back to football. We'll talk about the top story in the NFL. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. We are very happy to welcome in Logan Weber into the show. We'll talk some college basketball coming up in a bit. But before we do that, Rob had the idea of doing a Saturday Night Live draft. So this is the basis, the rules for the draft. You are making your own movie. You can only have cast members that were on Saturday Night Live. So you are making the movie poster. You're making a movie. It can be in your mind, whatever kind of movie you want to make. But they had to have starred on Saturday Night Live. Rob, let's go four people apiece. Is that a fair number here? We got three people. Let's go four people apiece. Logan, you have the first pick. Welcome in. Rob has the second pick. I have the third and fourth pick. We'll go in a snake-style draft celebrating 50 years of Saturday Night Live. Basically, anybody who has been funny over the last 50 years at one point has been on the SNL cast. Logan, you have the first pick. Rob, hit the music!
Man, I love this subject because I'm a kid who grew up watching Saturday Night Live every single weekend of my entire childhood. My parents absolutely love the show, still watch it regularly. I love this thought because I'm sort of taking an approach of an actor or an actress who can hit on multiple genres, like a comedic actor who can also play serious roles. And because of that, my first pick, I'm going with Adam Sandler. Who a tremendous comedic actor, whether it is, you know, Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison, whatever it might be. But he's also got tremendous serious acting roles. Like, he was phenomenal in Uncut Gems. I thought that was such a good movie. He did that movie a few years ago, Hustle, that's on Netflix, sort of a basketball. I thought it was a decent enough movie. I like a guy who has a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. He can hit a couple of different genres depending on where I'd like to go with it. I'm going with Adam Sandler.
All right, Adam Sandler, the number one overall pick in our SNL draft. Rob, you have the number two overall pick. Where are you going?
I'll take Bill Murray. Bill Murray might be the most decorated member of the SNL cast in history. Like, there's a lot in this category, but Bill Murray is one of those guys, and think of the movies he's done. Even in his elder time, you put him in a movie, it's going to hit. I'll take Bill Murray 2 overall because it's going to cross generations.
Number one, I can't believe you said that Bill Murray is the most decorated SNL cast member. That seems inherently false to me. I can't believe you guys have allowed me to take this person with the third pick and the third and fourth pick. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. With the third overall pick, I'm taking Eddie Murphy.
Fair.
I'm making a movie. He is the biggest movie star of any of the people that have ever been on Saturday Night Live. And that's no disrespect to Adam Sandler, who I would have taken if he was on the board. You're also going to give me Will Ferrell? Yes.
Will Ferrell is going to be my next pick. I had to get Murray early.
Yeah, I'm taking Eddie Murphy and I'm taking Will Ferrell here if I'm making a movie. Eddie Murphy, you can argue, saved Saturday Night Live. You can argue he saved it. Yes, Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell. I love my two picks. I only got two more picks to go. I feel like I'm off to a great start.
I really wanted Will Ferrell here. I thought he would make it to the second round, but lo and behold, he didn't. I'm kind of stuck here. Eddie Murphy's a great pick. Do I take Dan Aykroyd? Do I stay old? Do I stay in that old lane?
Are you making a movie in 1985 or 2025? Because if you want to have Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and all the Dan Aykroyd, you can have them right now. I'll give them to you.
I'll take Mike Myers. Mike Myers, my next pick. I mean, Mike Myers still draws. Mike Myers still has great movies. Mike Myers has done SNL movies before that are produced by Lorne Michaels. They work. I will take with my second pick. I'll take Mike Myers.
That's a good pick. Mike Myers
no,
it's
is not a bad
that's
pick.
A good. That's such a good. Good
he
a good
falls
pick.
In that older category a little bit.
Is
though?
He a top five pick though?
I don't know.
Is he top five with the amount of people that have come through Saturday Night Live? He's top five.
He wouldn't be in my top five, but okay. he is one of those guys like I was talking about who can cross over into multiple genres, whether, you know, he's done great comedy movies like Wayne's World, but he's also done, you know, children's movies like A Cat in the Hat, and he was in like Bohemian Rhapsody and Darkest Hour. He's done some more serious roles too. With my pick, sixth overall, I'm actually going to take Bill Hader, who okay. was on SNL for years and years. And I don't know if you've ever seen Barry on HBO. Phenomenal television show. Tremendous comedic actor with outstanding timing. I think Bill Hader is a phenomenal actor. He would be my next pick. With the third pick I've got, I would have to, you know, I'm looking for a female to star in the film, right?
Yeah.
I need a female
lead.
You
do need a woman in this movie.
And I'm leaning between one of two names, and I'm kind of trying to decipher between the two. If I want to take a comedic approach, No, I'll go with my gut. I'm going to go with Tina Fey, who, great comedic actor. She was wonderful in 30 Rock, but she's also done, you know, similar roles and serious roles in that respect. I'm going to go with Tina Fey to be my lead actress in this thing.
Okay, you're going with Tina Fey here. All right, so we are doing an SNL draft. They have celebrated 50 years of one of the most iconic shows on television, and we are making our own movie. You have to take four actors or actresses that starred on the show. Logan has his first three picks in: Adam Sandler, Bill Hader, and Tina Fey. Rob has Bill Murray and Mike Myers. I guess he's trying to remake Austin Powers with his movie. I guess we'll have to learn a little bit more about the plot of what his movie is going to be. I have Eddie Murphy and Will Ferrell. Those are my two selections. I have two left. Rob has two left. Logan only has one more pick. All right, Rob, it is back to you, my friend.
I like where Logan's headed. I was thinking female cast member here. I'm mad he took Tina Fey, but I'll run to the board and take Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler is, they're honestly a kind of a combo deal. Like, they do a lot of stuff together. They did the Golden Globes together, but Amy Poehler was fantastic in Parks and Rec. That is one of the better network television shows for comedy we've seen the last 20 years. I was tempted to go Kate McKinnon here, but I think Amy Poehler is funnier, so I'll take Amy Poehler, my third pick.
Okay, all right. This is my question here because I want to be sure. Can you take someone who is no longer alive? I just want to know how we're playing.
I haven't been taking deceased.
Okay, I just want to know.
That's just me.
Okay,
yeah, so I had no preference
one
way or the other.
You said build a movie that's going to be in 2025 if your third star is Chris Farley. Not great.
Okay, that's why I wanted to know. I wanted to make sure of what kind of movie we were making and when it was going to be set, because I think that's very important. All right, now aim with this knowledge, because I want to make a complete movie. I really think Jimmy Fallon's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking Jimmy Fallon, and I think I'm trying to make a little bit of a different kind of movie. If you guys are going to take an actress, I'll take an actress. I'll take Kristen Wiig.
That's the one I was trying to decide between. Because I think Tina Fey's hilarious. The other one I was thinking of was Kristen Wiig.
I love Bridesmaids. Hilarious film. Hilarious movie. All right, so I have my four. Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell, Jimmy Fallon, Kristen Wiig. Those are my four. Rob, you have one more pick. Logan, you have one more pick. We're doing an SNL draft celebrating their 50 years.
All right, here's my question. It can be a guy who was one and done on the cast, right?
Please don't do what you're about
to
do.
Here he goes.
I had this name plugged. I was going to take it third.
Robert Downey Jr.
No!
Robert Downey Jr. is off the board. Robert Downey Jr. was, in fact, a cast member, albeit one year. He was wildly unsuccessful on the show. That's because of his personal life, which is, at the time, full of other demons. But since getting clean, all he does is pump out Marvel hits and non-Marvel hits. He was great in Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr. was on SNL. Robert Downey Jr. is my final pick.
Okay. Oh, that breaks my heart a little bit.
All right,
I was absolutely.
There's actually a lot of, like, now looking at the people that are going to end up being undrafted in this movie. There is a lot of people that have starred in movies that are just not going
to
be selected.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to look down this list that you're going to be like, oh, I didn't even realize that person was on there. All right, if you're taking Downey, because like I said, I'm looking, you know, is this a serious movie? Is it a comedic movie? Is it a little bit of both? Right.
I don't know what kind of movie you're trying to make right now.
I don't
Let
either.
Me see with your fourth pick what kind
either.
Of movie you're trying to make.
I think all three of them, right, can kind of do both, where it can be a little bit serious at times. Have you ever seen the movie This Is Where I Leave You? It has Tina Fey
Adam
in
Adam Driver,
it.
Jason yes. Bateman, that
it's,
movie, yeah.
I really do love that movie. It's very, very serious. It's a Jewish family that's, like, trying to... they're sitting Shiva for their dad's, you know, death, but it's wildly hilarious at the same time. So I'm kind of looking for a movie like in that vein. So I'm going to take Bob Odenkirk. Very, you know, it doesn't seem like the kind, he was on there. He was on SNL for years, but like between Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, along with his comedic timing.
Are you making a comedy or a drama? I don't really know if your movie's going to be
it's
that
like
funny.
It's going to be like a dramedy, I think, is where I'm going with this.
You got a straight-to-Netflix release. That's what he's got. Rob, he's got Adam Sandler and Bill Hader. This movie is going to cost $110 million on Netflix, and nobody is going to watch it.
He made, what's that Adam Sandler movie we all hate? Funny People. He made Funny
That's
People.
That's what he made. He made funny people too. That's what you drafted.
That's why I'm in sports, not directing.
That's what you drafted. You drafted funny people too. You have Adam Sandler, Bill Hader, Tina Fey, and Bob Odenkirk. Rob has Bill Murray, Michael Myers, Amy Poehler, and Robert Downey Jr., who feels like it's a little bit of cheating, but you know what? I'll give it to Rob. I have Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell, Jimmy Fallon, and Kristen Wiig if I am making a movie. Those are our participants in the Saturday Night Live draft. It has been 50 years. Congratulations to them. It is one of the most iconic shows in television history. You came in earlier and you were talking to me a little bit about the Kansas Jayhawks. I do want to get your thoughts on kind of what's going on with KU. It does feel a little bit split. Like some of it is, hey, things aren't as bad. This is a little bit of a downturn. We'll figure things out. I would maybe have that opinion if it was just one season of what's happening with them. I mean, this has been two seasons of what's been going on with the Jayhawks. They had their down year last year. You thought, hey, we're going to come back in this thing. They took another big swing in the portal, and they have missed even harder this year than they missed last year. Where are you at with what's going wrong with KU?
Man, I think that, honestly, we talk a lot about NIL and the transfer portal, and there's a lot of people that have their negative approaches towards NIL. I think this is one of the beautiful parts of the transfer portal, is because I think it has in some ways leveled the playing field. Now, yes, your Kansas, you know, your University of Kansas, your Kentuckys, your Dukes and your UCLAs, they're always going to recruit or out-recruit other programs. But I think NIL and the transfer portal has allowed others to come together and try to, you know, balance the approach, I guess you could say, to some extent. KU's having a bad year. I will, by their standards, I will not argue that. But as somebody who is not a Kansas fan, it feels a little bit like first world problems to be complaining about being 17-8 and you might be out of the top 25 for the first time in, I don't know, the Bush administration. So I'm not going to shed many tears for KU faithful, but it's a rough one. And last night was as low a point as KU basketball has had in a very long time. I've got a younger brother who's a Kansas fan who was all over the family group chat last night making complaints and talking about how bad things were. It's a rough go if you're a fan of the Kansas Jayhawks, but there's always somewhere worse, and that is where most of us as college basketball fans sit, is below where Kansas is.
Yeah, but I also don't really know if that would comfort me. Like, I'm reading the text line right there. I'm like, oh, you cheer for Missouri. Like, if that's now what we're comparing Kansas basketball to, like, just 3 years ago, you guys would have told me that you were the best program in college basketball. Now it's like, well, what about Missouri? Wait, hold on. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
You guys should be challenging yourself. This is where maybe I'm a little bit different than you and Rob. I want to get your opinion on this. I was kind of on your side with first world problems with KU before this past weekend. I mean, you were playing two teams that every version of Kansas basketball that you and I had ever seen wins at least one of those two games. Maybe you don't go on the road and win both of those games. KU more than not wins both of those games, but you lose one heartbreaker where maybe it's a last second shot and you can at least lock in and win the second one. They didn't lead at any point against Utah, and they just had the worst loss in the regular season that they've had for Bill Self. This is a little bit more to me than fans are a little bit spoiled. Hey, this KU team is still a good team. They're going to be a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. They're starting to kind of figure some things out and play their best basketball heading into the final month of the season. This is a KU team that looks lost to me. This is the KU team that doesn't really have an identity right now, and they're getting beat by teams that shouldn't be able to hang on the court with you. That's where I think this is a little bit more serious than first world problems with KU.
Oh, no question. When you look at programs like Kansas, when you look at programs like Mike Krzyzewski's Duke Blue Devils and all those great teams, what made them special wasn't what they looked like in November and December. It's what they looked like in February and March, and if they got to April in a Final Four. They got better as the year progressed, and you saw that. You look at what Duke's done this year. They have gotten so much better as the year has gone along. Cooper Flagg looks like an absolute superstar. You look at what Auburn and Alabama have done in the SEC this year. And for the first time in what feels like a very long time for Kansas, I don't know if they're worse than they were in November, but they're not better than they were in November. This team has not, improved as the season has gone along. Coaches talk about it all the time. We hear it ad nauseum about, you know, you want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year, your best football at the end of the year when it matters most. This Kansas team isn't. This same Jayhawks basketball team beat Duke and North Carolina at the beginning of the year. And since that win against Duke, this team has looked stale and stagnant. Their outside shooting has struggled. Hunter Dickinson looks like a walking 2x4. There's just no cohesion on this team. It seems like Bill is trying to give a lot of rope to guys that don't deserve it and taking rope away from guys that I believe have earned the right to be out there on the floor, taking shots away from guys who I think are some of your primary shot makers and giving it to guys that he wants to be those, you know, he wants KJ Adams to be a 15 or 20 point per game guy. I just don't think he is capable of it. Athletically, yes, he can do it, but I don't think his talent and his determination is there. There are questions that need to be had about this KU team, and I don't think that it is wrong to question that.
Earlier on the show, we had CJ Moore on the show when I asked him that if you look at sort of 10 years ago, if I'd asked you who the blue blood schools were in college basketball, you would have said Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Villanova. You would have said those were the five. Duke lost their coach because of the changes in college basketball. Kentucky's coach sort of lost his way. North Carolina's coach retired because of it, same as Villanova. Could you see a scenario where in the next 18 months, Bill just wakes up and says, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't the college basketball that I got into. We asked him this question. CJ Moore, he doesn't see Bill retiring anytime soon.
I don't think so. I don't think he minds the changes that much. I think that, and I don't see Bill Self being willing to go out like this. So it would just surprise me if he were to just step away and be like, it's passed me by. You know, I can't coach in this era. I don't think the way the rules are right now, he really minds. I think he just, you know, he has to go get the right guys. And he needs his, like, you remember when Roy Williams in the, I don't know if you're old enough or not, Karen, you probably are. In the late 90s, like, Roy was getting burnt out, and he didn't have very good teams, and he got his Kirk Heinrich, Nick Collison, Drew Gooden class, and it fixed everything, and it, like, re-energized him. Bill needs that class. Like, Bill, hopefully that's the class for him next year. He needs that to happen right now because I do think he's, like, I think these teams have maybe worn him out a little bit because it's frustrated him that he hasn't won at the level he's used to winning, but I don't see him going out like this.
Rob, I am curious, as you know KU recruiting certainly a lot more than Logan and I do. Do you see that class coming up? Because a lot of KU fans are kind of pointing to, I mean, they do have one of the three best high school basketball players in the country committed to coming to play basketball at KU next season. They do have another top 20 recruit. Like, this is a really special class that they have coming up. Like, you can still win with freshmen. I'm watching Duke right now, and they have the potential number one overall pick, and Duke is probably going to be a one seed. At worst, they'll be a two seed this year in the NCAA tournament. You can still win. You can still win the ways that you have won in the past. If you want to win with freshmen, you better find a couple of really special ones, but you can win that way. If you want to win with 3 and 4 year players, I'm watching Auburn. That's kind of what Auburn's done. They haven't really dove headfirst into the transfer portal. Bruce Pearl has a style. He has developed that style. You figured out ways to win. Iowa State, very transfer portal heavy. Every single year, they're turning over the roster. They look like they could make a team that makes a deep run. Do you think that this upcoming KU class, do you think that's the one that could potentially revitalize Self in the way that CJ just described?
I think it could. Because if you're looking at previous classes, now next year has, everyone knows Darren Peterson's name. It's going to be a name that everyone talks about. But they also got Bryson Tiller, who left Overtime Elite. He's going to be in next year's class. I know he reclassified to be early, and he's redshirting this year. He's going to start playing basketball next year. And they got another kid from Overtime Elite, Calderon. He's a big swing, you know, four type guy. He's another guy. I don't know that class is going to give him the energy that Heinrich, Collison, Gooden class gave Roy Williams, but when you compare what's coming in to high school classes previous, it does feel like Self may has a breath of fresh air coming. Because outside of Grady Dick, if you're going through previous high school recruiting classes, it is a slog. It is a lot of mediocrity. It is a lot of just, oh, that guy's okay. Like, I think the best player is Grady Dick, but there's also guys that you're like, oh, he did nothing at Kansas. Like, I'm looking at the 2024 class, which I guess is still TBD, but Flory is TBD, but you think anything of Rakees Passmore, you're like, oh, he really got something in Rakees Passmore. The 2023 class, Elmarco Jackson, mostly a miss so far, but that's injury. Jamari McDowell, that's a miss, nothing there. Johnny Furphy, okay, I guess that's a good player, but I think Johnny Furphy was a guy they were hoping to get more out of. He didn't get him. I mentioned Grady Dick. Ernest Uday has transferred out. Zubi Ejiofor transferred out. MJ Rice, massive miss. Like, usually Bill Self high school recruiting classes have a couple guys who are like, oh, they got one hidden gem and one dog.
I didn't really hear a whole lot in that class.
Not a lot of that coming up. So maybe this class has two overtime elite kids and a top five kid, and that changes things, but it does feel like this is more back to his roots with recruiting, with getting dogs as opposed to just getting people.
That is our guy Logan Weber joining us in studio today. A little SNL draft, a little talking Kansas basketball as KU is trying to figure some things out. Logan, man, we appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I have had a debate that has torn this office apart. We'll bring the debate to you guys next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, this is a question that tore apart this office. Before we start the topic, I got to give a shout out to my guys over at the We're the Weird pod, because this is where I got this question from. I didn't come up with this question. I don't want to take credit for it. This is shout out to them. We're the Weird pod. Be sure to check it out. So on their podcast, they were having this debate and I wanted to get Rob's opinion on it because Rob is married. So the question is, if your girlfriend or wife tells you that she wants to go to a paint and sip. Now, I asked Spectre this question. Spectre is also married, and he was asking, well, what's a paint and sip? You go somewhere, you know, they got the arts and crafts out there. They got the wine there. You paint a little bit. You drink a little bit. You gossip. You laugh. A little girl time, you know, a little girl's night activity. But the catch with this paint and sip is they're not just painting apples and bananas. There's a naked man there. Yes. A little nude paint and sip show. And I asked Rob, I was like, Rob, you're happily married. I've met your wife, very lovely human being, love her to death. If your wife called you and said, hey, me and the girls this weekend, we want to let our hair down. We want to let loose. We want to go to a paint and sip. But at the paint and sip, there's going to be a naked man there and we're going to paint him while we're drinking wine and talking. Now, in this hypothetical, Rob, nothing happens. This isn't like some, oh, but no. She's just going there. This man's going to be standing there. She's going to paint him. They're going to have a little bit of wine. They're going to talk. She's going to come straight home afterwards. She'll be home at a decent hour. Let's say 10:30, 11 o'clock. What would you say? Would you let her go? What's your opinion on this? I just wanted to get your thoughts on this scenario, and you were very adamant that you don't want her to go to this activity.
First off, I want the phrasing on this correct because it's going to end up back in my wife, so I don't want this. I would not be like, you are not allowed to go. I would encourage her to please not go because I do not want her there. Because I think if the roles were reversed, she would not be pleased with me going to, let's be honest, a strip club. That's the equivalent. Now, you can go to a strip club and just drink a few beers and sit in the corner the same way you would drink some wine and paint this man and not touch anyone, no harm, no foul. But that is something that I imagine my wife would not want me taking part in. So then, if the roles are going to reverse, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you and the ladies can go have a great time painting Joseph's member. No thanks. You can please go to a regular paint and sip or a pot, do whatever. Just don't go to a place where there's going to be I'd feel the same way if she was at a bachelorette party in Vegas. She said, hey, I'm going for the Thunder from Down Under. Hey, I'd prefer if you didn't do that if I got an option. You're still a grown adult. Pick your own thing.
Okay,
but I would have a preference.
But, okay, I don't want to use the force. I don't mean that. I don't mean it in that way. I certainly mean no disrespect. But If you are married and you tell your wife, no, I don't want you to do something, obviously she has free will, but you have communicated to her, this will make me unhappy, and you deciding to do it anyway is a form of disrespect to me. At least that's how I view it. This is why I'm interested on your topic in this. I think it's a little bit different than going to the S Club. I think it's a little bit different. You have physical contact at the club. Now, maybe you just sit there and sit back and you got your Stella and you're watching them dance, but you have the opportunity to go over to the side and dance with this woman. You also have the opportunity to go in the back and be with this woman. I think it's a little bit different than the Peyton Sip. In the Peyton Sip, there's no physical contact. Man is going to stand there. He's going to pose for a little bit like a Greek statue. She's going to get her little paint on, her little Picasso on. She's going to sip a little Merlot, and then she's coming home. So I actually think it's a little bit different than the strip club. I think it's a little bit different.
I also think, and there have been TV shows that have done this, you know, at its core, this thing. I think adding alcohol and the fact that it's amateur painting also changes things. If my wife was Pablo Picasso, if my wife was Monet, and she's like, hey, today for my art, I am doing this. Hey, that is part of your job. It's part of your job I probably don't like, but that's your job. Hey, you and your five best friends are going to go pop a bottle of wine, probably put down two or three glasses, and then just sketch artist draw this naked dude. No, I don't want that. That is not there. She is not a professional artist.
No,
it's the harsh reality.
She's a lot of things. I don't think she's Picasso. No, I just wanted to get your opinion. Let me know what you guys think.
I think this guy on the text line says perfectly. Yeah, go and have a good time. But let you know, me and the boys are going to the strip club. No private dances. No, you know, special one-on-one time. I'm going to go have a beer and just watch the show because that's the same. And I know my wife wouldn't want that. So I'm not signing up for this.
This is what I don't understand. And I'm not saying that you and your wife don't have trust. I imagine that you do. If you're telling me there is a 100% chance that nothing happens here, I don't really know how this is different than watching it on television. Like, your wife has seen somebody else's at some point in time. And with our phone, she has the ability to at seemingly any point in the day. You know the websites to go to. I'm not here to share that with you. You're sick. But your wife has the ability to see him. How is that any different than somebody on the phone? How is that any different? It's the same. It's not any different than a movie. You're not touching them. You're not interacting with them. You're not leaving with them. You're just going to sit there and paint them. You're going to paint them. I just want to know what you guys think on this. I just want to throw the question out there. I'm not saying Rob's right or Rob's wrong. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. It's your marriage. It's your relationship. Do what you want in that scenario. Do what you want. But I don't really think that this is that bad of a deal. On a scale from 1 to 10, this is kind of small. This is kind of small to me.
On a 1 to 10, it's probably in the
four
range. But my preference, and I'd say
fair. No, that's fair. I'm just saying this. I'm guessing that at some point, there's going to be a little bit more of a gray area. We're like, no, I'm not letting you do that. No, I can't. I can't. No, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not willing to pick this fight. Yeah, go have fun with your girls. Go have fun with your girls. She's going to come back at 10:30, 11 o'clock. You've been there giggling with the girls. Hey, you know what? Hey, have a good time. Have a good time. That would be my suggestion. I just wanted you guys to opinion. Someone on the text line said, we need baseball to start. Hey, I'm happy to keep talking about KU being bad. This almost feels like baseball season to me. I'm thrilled to do it. We can do that coming up at the top of the hour if you want to. I definitely got more sports topics related to Kansas being terrible. I've waited for this day my entire life. You guys don't understand. I feel rejuvenated last night. I haven't slept that while in a long time. Rob, this morning I skipped to the car. I couldn't wait to come into work today. I beat Rob here. I was sitting there with Rob. You know, like how a kid is like standing there waiting for you to wake up. That's how it was when Rob walked into the office. Are you ready to talk about the show today? I couldn't wait for 2 o'clock to be here. Couldn't wait. So trust me, Rob knows I got a whole sheet of KU is dead topics ready to go at a moment's notice. If that's what you guys want to talk about. I'm can't wait.
We were going through the show, like, here's all the stuff I got in KU. I'm like,
I had 16 KU topics ready.
You know this.
Ready to go. I could do 4 hours on KU being. I think I honestly think it could be over. I think it could be over.
I think this team's... I don't think it's over for Self.
I think it could be over.
I don't think it's over. That's weird. Like,
I'm not saying it is, but for the first time in my entire life, it feels like a... I don't know. I heard Bill sounded defeated in a way that I haven't heard him at any point of being KU's coach. He sounded more defiant with the NCAA than he sounded yesterday. Bill didn't waver with the NCAA stuff. We didn't do anything wrong. Hey, we're going to fight this. I'm going to be here. Bill came out defiant. Bill had his hands in his head yesterday. Bill was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've done everything I can. Bill said he was going to give them a day off. That was Bill's solution to how they've been losing was a day off. So trust me, if you guys want sports and you want to talk about the top story, oh, we got it. You know what? Let's take a little break from Kansas and we can get back to very serious things. It doesn't appear that the Chiefs are going to franchise tag Trey Smith or Nick Bolton. What does that mean for the Chiefs? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.